Welcome to the Riverside Church Podcast. Riverside Church is a community of believers striving side by side for the gospel in the greater New Orleans area. For more information about Riverside Church, go to riversidelife.org.
We are this morning. We've been walking through Luke's gospel chapter by chapter, a new chapter each week. And this week we're in Luke chapter 8 in a sermon series entitled Good News for All People, with a sermon titled today, Good News for All Who Hear. Jesus says in Luke chapter 8, be careful how you hear. This week, I was reminded of a viral moment from October the 30th, 1938. There were viral moments even back then. On October 30th, 1938, maybe you remember this from an English class or a history class of some sort. There was a radio guy, a filmmaker by the name of Orson Welles. Have you heard of him before? Maybe you know where I'm going with this now. But he had a radio program known as the Mercury Theater on the Air, where he would do adaptations of novels and read them on, I believe, a Sunday evening as radio entertainment as it was back then. On this particular day in 1938, he took a work by a man unrelated to him, I believe, of H.G. Wells, who wrote a very kind of groundbreaking novel in 1898 called War of the Worlds, in which Martians invade the world, and they're more powerful than us, they have more resources than us, and so it's this kind of first like sci-fi thriller type of book. And so on that day in 1938, Orson Welles had an adaptation of H.G. Wells' War of the World that he read on the radio. And as he read it, the way that he did it was in a series of news bulletins. And so the story goes, as people began to tune in, and some tuning in later than others, to this entertainment program, they hear these news bulletins that are coming out, and some folks start to believe that these are real-life news bulletins that the Martians are descending on Grover's Mills, New Jersey. And the story goes that people began to panic. As history has played out, people said the panic wasn't as bad as they thought it to be at the time. But nevertheless, there was so much panic, at least perceived panic, because people listened to this and really thought these were real live news bulletins because they trusted CBS Radio and Orson Welles. There was widespread media outrage in the hours and days to follow, so much so that the program's news bulletin format was described as deceptive by some newspapers and public figures, leading to an outcry against the broadcasters and calls for regulations by the FCC. For Orson Welles, this was a viral moment because Campbell Soup would go on to pick up this radio program, and it became changed to the Campbell Playhouse. Regardless of all of this, my point in telling you that story is that we need to be careful what we hear and how we hear and what we're listening to. Why was there such a stir up on October 30th, 1938? Well, be careful what you hear. Be sure of what you are listening to. Be sure that what you're listening to, that the content is reliable content. And you must be careful who you are listening to, because it matters who we are listening to, because who we are listening to helps us determine of what we're listening to, whether or not that has consequence on our life. For those on October 30th, 1938, they started to listen to this radio program, and it had consequence on their life because of what they were perceiving that they were listening to. Today, it might go something like this. We don't have to wait for Sunday night. You can turn on a news channel any time of the day and find breaking news, a news bulletin. Here's what you should panic about next. Maybe if you're a little bit younger on TikTok or something like that, you know influencer culture. You listen to people who accidentally became famous because of some viral moment, and now you listen to them like your life depends upon what they tell you you should be like putting on your face and what you should be eating or whatever that might look like for you. There's all sorts of these folks and these people that we listen to and allow to have consequence upon our lives. For Christians, we need to learn to cut through the noise so that what we listen to and who we listen to has appropriate consequence on our life. And so that's what I want you to see in Luke chapter 8, our main point. Be careful how you hear. Because what you hear and who you listen to is a matter of life and death. That's what Jesus said in Luke chapter 8 about the lamp and things like that that we read a second ago. That who we listen to determines what consequence that will have on our life. Does the person I listen to, does the word that I'm listening to influence my life? And so that's what I want us to see in Luke chapter 8. If we see the context of Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 1, we see that Jesus is proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. Do you see that in Luke chapter 8, verse 1? And soon afterwards, he went through the cities and villages, what? Proclaiming the word. Here's what he's preaching, the good news of the kingdom of God. Jesus is preaching the good news that the Messiah has come, the Lamb has come, there is healing, the blind are seeing, the lame are walking, the Messiah, the prophesied Messiah, is here. And as he does it, we are told by Luke, this historian who's giving us an account to know what Christ has done, he's telling us that there's these 12 apostles that are following, there's women that are joining along in this mission, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. What's going on is that a family is beginning to form. People are hearing the good news of the kingdom and believing the good news of the kingdom. That's having great consequence on their life, where they are now living their lives as a family under the reign of King Jesus. Jesus goes on to tell us a parable we talked about several weeks ago from a different sermon. He tells us the parable of the sower. And in the parable of the sower, he's telling us what it's like in this agricultural illustration of what's happening as the kingdom is being proclaimed and as people are beginning to follow Jesus. And he tells us the parable. He said there was a great crowd was gathering, people from town after town. He says this in verse 4, comes to him. He said this in a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot. The birds of the air devoured it, and some fell on the rock. And as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it out. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. Then he said these things and called out, "He who has ears, be careful how you listen, let him hear." Jesus goes on to explain this parable. He says the seed is the word of God, the gospel of the good news of the kingdom. That's being proclaimed, that faith comes through hearing and hearing the word of Christ. And he's saying as they go, this family of disciples proclaiming the kingdom, they're scattering the seed. And the seed is the word of God. And this seed is falling on different soils, the different way that people hear and receive. Be careful how you listen. And the problem is not the power of the seed, but the condition of the soil on which it falls. Some hearts are hard, he goes on to say. Some are like rocky soil. It doesn't have much root. Some do take root and begin to grow, but the cares of the world choke it out, Jesus says. And sometimes this powerful seed falls on good soil and it springs up and produces a crop. The word, the seed, exposes our hearts and what's already there. It exposes our hearts. Even for you, Christian, as you hear the word of God, perhaps it exposes your heart even now, even more, as the Lord refines your heart more and more. And so Jesus is saying, as the word is spread, be careful how you hear, because as it falls on our heart, it exposes our heart either to the seed just to be ignored, or it begins to bear fruit in our life. Be careful what you hear and how you hear. Notice they all hear, like it hits their ears. But the good soil, he says, is the one who's hold fast and bear fruit. He says that in verse 15. As for that, in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, don't just hear it, but they hold fast to it. It has consequence on their life. They're listening, they're receiving it, they're trusting it. In an honest and good heart, and bear fruit with patience. Hear and receive it. as this word exposes your heart. God, give me a good heart. Give me good soil. And he will. He'll till up your heart. Remove those rocks and thorns and weeds that the word would have consequence in your life. That's what Jesus is after here in Luke chapter 8. He tells another parable. I read it to you just a minute ago, this story of the lamp. And he says, no one after lighting a lamp will cover it and hide it, but you will put it in a place of prominence so that people can see it. So what he's saying here now in Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 16, 17, and 18, he says, if the light, the word of God, takes root in your soul, think parable of the sower, as Jesus explains, it's truth that must never be hidden. But it starts to bear fruit in your life, he says at the end of the parable of the sower, and that fruit's going to be like the shining of a light for all to see. And so what he is saying with this story of the lamp is that as we understand the word of God, and it takes root in our heart, we don't put it under a bushel or hide it under a bed. Rather, we put it in a place of prominence where it can be seen by all. This word is to have the word of God effect in your life, like a light, lighting up a dark heart, lighting up a dark space that the world might see. Why? Because all things are going to be exposed in the end. Like, you're not going to get away with it. All things are going to be exposed. Let the word of God expose your heart now. Have consequence on your life now. And if it has, don't hide it and put it under a bushel, but shine it for all to see, because this is a good word. It's a good of life. It's a word of peace and hope. It's proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. Let the word shine. Don't hide it. And that word shines through us. Receive it and let it shine. So the point of these two stories, the sower and the lamp, is really the point of the sermon. Be careful how you hear. The word is a powerful light, like a lamp, to light up darkness. It's like a seed that is sown on soil and springs up. Be careful how you hear, because what you listen to will have consequence in your life. For good or evil, it'll all be exposed. The consequence for those who are listening to the word of God, listening to the words of Jesus, is this. Look at what it says in verse 19. Then his mother and his brothers came to him, and they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you. But he answered them, listen to this, my mother and my brothers, my family, my true family, are those who hear the word of God and do it. And much like the beginning of Luke 8, as these apostles, these disciples, and now these women are hearing the word of God and following him and giving their lives for King Jesus, we're saying like this is it. How are they? They hear the word, they receive the word, and they do the word. The word has consequence on their life. What he's saying is, my family is being formed as the Lord speaks and people believe it. We're talking about like the doctrine of adoption, that we become children of God through the grace of God. Everyone who puts their faith in Christ is adopted into the family of God. That's what Jesus is saying. If you've believed in him, you're his brother, you're his sister, Christ is our elder brother, that we are adopted by the Heavenly Father. So what have we seen so far? What do we listen to? What are you listening to? What is the noise that maybe you need to cut through? Or what do you need to receive? It's the word of God that will reveal our hearts and change our hearts. It's the word of God that will expose everything in the end. It's the word of God that we are to shine as lights. That's the what. But with our remaining time, we want to ask who is saying this. Because I think that matters. It matters because if not, this is just another teacher, right? Like, this is just like another option, just another way, another possibility of finding meaning in life or something or else. But it matters who is saying this. Who are you listening to? Are you listening to someone that became accidentally famous because of some sort of viral video that they made 3 years ago? Are you listening to someone because they sit at a news desk? Are you listening at someone because of whatever it might be? Who are you listening to? And are those words having consequence in your life? Who are we listening to? As Jesus taught these things, the Bible tells us that one day in verse 22, he got into a boat with his disciples. Who are we listening to? And he said to him, "Let us go across to the other side of the lake." Maybe you remember this story. And so they set out. As they sailed off, he fell asleep. As Jesus sleeps, a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water, and they were in danger. And these professional fishermen that spent their life on the water, they are in full panic. And Jesus is sleeping. And they went and they woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." I don't know if you've ever felt like that before. Like, "Jesus, do you know what I'm going through?" And it seems like you're just like nowhere to be found. And he awoke. Listen to how Jesus uses his words. Watch this. He rebuked the wind with a command. With his word, he rebuked the wind and the raging seas, and they ceased. And there was calm. And he said to them, "Where is your faith?" And they were afraid, and they marveled, saying to one another, "Who is this that he commands? He says, 'Be still,' and even the winds and the waters, and they obey them." The disciples begin to understand, this is who we are listening to. The one who the winds and the seas obey his command. So there Jesus is sleeping, and he's not sleeping because he's detached from them. He's sleeping because he's sovereign over this. He's in control. And with just one word, "Hush," the storm ceases. Who is this? This must be God himself in the flesh. Hebrews chapter 1 says he upholds the world with the word of his power. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors by the prophets at different times and in different ways. It says in Hebrews chapter 1, "In these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. God has appointed him heir of all things and made the universe through him. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact expression of his nature, sustaining all things, even you, by his powerful word." Who are we listening to? This is the Creator himself who is proclaiming this good news. The word of the one who commands creation brings good news to our ears. Isn't that incredible? That's the kind of word that I want to have consequence and influence over my life, because this is the Creator himself, the word of the one who commands creation. But he goes on. The Bible says that after that, then he sailed to the country of the Gerasenes. You see it in verse 26, which is the opposite of Galilee. And Jesus stepped out onto land. And there he met a man from the city who had demons. And for a long time he had worn no clothes, and he had not lived in a house but among the tombs. And he sees Jesus and cries out. Who are we listening to? Who has influence over our lives? Not only the one who commands creation, but now we see the one who commands the dark domain is the one that we listen to. Here Jesus meets this guy who is absolutely, for lack of better terms, infested with the demonic. This demon-possessed man was an exiled man. Nobody knew what to do with him, so he's living in a graveyard. And there's so many demons, the Bible says. It says in verse 30, do you see it there? Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion, for many demons had entered him." Thousands. This is not like 1v1, right? This is Jesus and thousands of demons. To a man that nobody knew what to do with. And what did Jesus do? Verse 29. He had commanded the unclean spirit. Commanded. Spoke. "Come out." And he comes out of the man. For a time, the demons had seized him, and he was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles. But he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the desert. And that power was silenced. by the command of Jesus. And these demons themselves even knew that they had to bow before the word of King Jesus. How was this man healed? He was healed by the power of Jesus' word, where he says, come out, and the demons came out of the man. And notice what it says in verse 31, how the demons even recognize this. So you see it there. And this legion of demons, they begged him, they, plural, begged him not to command them to depart into the abyss. Don't say it, Jesus. Because if you say it, that's how it goes. The demons are powerless and they must submit. They even know this to what Jesus commands. They plead with him, don't send us into the abyss, which is the hell prepared for Satan and his demons. Instead, send us to these pigs. Without getting to the details of that, that's exactly what happened. Jesus grants them their request. Now a large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him to let them enter these, and so he gave them permission. That's the only reason. He gave them permission. His word. Then the demons came out of the man, they entered the pigs, and the herd rushed down and the steep bank into the lake and drowned. Don't say the word, Jesus, because whatever you say goes. Luke chapter 8, whatever is being hidden will be exposed by the word of God. There's power in his word. He went proclaiming, this man did. Do you see this man that is set free? He returns to his home in verse 39 and declares how much God has done for him. He did not hide the light under a bushel. He did not put it under a bed. This light that has come into my life now has prominence because the word of Jesus has consequence in my life. God himself in the flesh, Jesus, has cast out these demons by the power of his word, and his word has such effect in my life that he went away proclaiming him through the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. This little light of mine, he let it shine. The word had a consequence in his life. That's who he listened to. The one who calmed the storm, the one whose word is powerful over creation, the one whose word is powerful over the dark domain. And then there's two other stories that Jesus tells that we want to look at with our time left. There's two folks we hear about. And Jesus returned in verse 40, it says, the crowd welcomed him for they were all waiting for him. Be asking, who am I listening to? You still asking yourself the question that? Be careful how you listen. And there came a man named Jairus, who was the ruler of the synagogue, and falling at Jesus' feet, he implored him to come to his house, where he had his only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she was dying. And then Jesus runs up on an older lady, wasn't 12 years old, but she had been sick for 12 years. So we have two girls, a girl and a woman, one alive for 12 years, one sick for 12 years. And Jairus asked Jesus if he would come to his house to heal his daughter, because she was not yet dead, but she was dying. The crowds are swelling, and before he goes to Jairus' house, this other lady who had been sick for 12 years, it says, as people are pressing around on him, she came up behind him in verse 44. Do you see it there? And she touched the fringe of his garment. She's not sure what to do, because at this point, this lady had lost her health. She had lost her wealth. She had spent everything on doctors, and nothing seemed to work. Nothing had worked. She likely had lost her family, and she is destitute. And she's desperate with no health, no wealth, no nothing. She's desperate and thinking, if I could just touch the garment of Jesus, I might be healed. And she does, and she is. Immediately, the discharge of blood ceased when she reached out and touched his robe. And Jesus says, he speaks again, who is that touched me? And all denied it, and the Peter said, Master, like people are surrounding and pressing into you, like everybody's been touching you. But he said, no, someone touched me, for I perceive that power has gone out from me. And when he saw the woman who was no longer hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him and declared in the presence of all people why she had touched him and how she had immediately been healed. And he said to her, listen to the words of Jesus, the one who calms the storm, the one who cast out the demons of the dark domain, looks at this desperate lady and says to her, daughter. Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. This woman with nothing, with no reputation, nothing but desperation, knows if she can just touch Jesus, she might be healed, and she is. And Jesus, with his word, notice what he does, calls her out of hiding, who touched me? And then is bold enough to call her daughter. Who are sons and daughters? That's what this chapter is about. Who's part of the family? Those who hear the word and believe it and has consequence in their life and they bear fruit with the word. She trusts Jesus. Jesus calls her out of hiding and renames her and says, you are my daughter. Your faith, your trust in me has made you well. Go in peace. So the word of the one who commands creation, the word of the one who conquers the dark domain, is the word of the one who calls us out of hiding. He says this with the lamp. Nothing that you can hide, all of it will be exposed. And so maybe that's the call of you today. Like, let Jesus call you out of hiding. Listen to his voice. Who's desperately clinging and just wants a touch of the robe? And Jesus says, who touched me and calls you out of hiding? What are you hiding from? His word has consequence. And while he was still speaking, Jairus is probably, he's feeling like, I got strung out to dry here. Like, she was sick for 12 years, like another hour, like what's the deal? Like, that could have waited, right? Like, me first and like then go back to her, but while he was still speaking, words were still coming out of his mouth, the Bible says, someone from the ruler's house came and said, your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher anymore. This he calls this person daughter. Now, Jairus, your daughter is dead. Can you imagine the disappointment of Jairus? Jesus delayed. Maybe you felt like this. So much for being an on-time God. You felt like that before. Maybe you feel like that right now. I don't know. Jesus, you're taking care of these other people, but what about me? And so it's pressing in on us. Can his word reach down into death itself, even death itself, and do something about it? Surely death is too much for Jesus. Sure, miracles and the storm and the demons and the woman, all of this, but not death. Like, that's too much, unless you're God, the creator of all things. And notice what Jesus says. Notice what Jesus says. Do not fear, all will be well. They were weeping and mourning. Do not weep, for she is not dead, but sleeping. Even death is mere sleep. Like, she was really dead. This is not like Jesus is like working around it. Like, she was dead, and even death is like sleeping with Jesus. And they laughed at him, knowing that she was dead, but taking her by the hand, he said this. Mark says it like this, Talitha kumi. Child, rise. Honey, it's time to get up. Sweetheart, wake up. Not with a rebuke, but with simple and calm words. Child, arise. It's time to get up. Tomorrow morning at about 7 o'clock, I will be trying to wake up three kids who have not had school for an entire week. They've been waking up at 6:30 every morning for the last week, but tomorrow morning on a school morning, I can guarantee that they will be dead asleep at 7 a.m. And I guarantee that it will take more than just a calm word, sweetheart, honey, son, it's time to get up, for me to wake them up. Have you been there? Do you understand what I'm talking about right now? Like, that's what Jared's word does. read between all the lines there, whatever that's worth. Doesn't have a whole lot of power, seemingly, when we're trying to even wake a sleeping person up. But not with Jesus. With Jesus, the power of his word changes the way we even see and experience death. Oftentimes we don't have explanations of why here, why now, but we do know that his word has consequence even over death itself. So much so that with a simple, calm word, he can say, "Child, get up," and out of death rises this little girl. And we can be confident as Christians, that's true for us, that when we close our eyes in death, that we will hear the words of King Jesus' son, "Daughter, my brother, my sister, get up. It's resurrection time. It's time to wake up. Welcome into the joy of your Father forever and ever, where death has been silenced once and for all." So who are you listening to? After this, the apostles went out proclaiming this word. I want to proclaim that word, not only because what it says, yes, it's good news, but by the power to which it comes, this is the word of the one who calms storms, the one who, in his word, demons flee, that disease vanish, that graves open. This is the powerful word of which we listen to. The power of his word is not contingent on us receiving it, but his powerful word is because Jesus is Lord of all. And those who receive his word brings them to life. And those who reject his word exposes all and we stand condemned. But faith comes through hearing and hearing the word of Christ. Let me just finish with a couple things. What noise do you need to cut through? What cares of the world are choking out what Jesus is speaking to you? Maybe what's preventing you from coming to Christ? Maybe think of the front end of things. Maybe you're a Christian and wondering what that looks like. Maybe you're not a believer this morning, but it's time to listen to Jesus. His word is powerful. Where do you need to trust his word today? Anxiety, a spiritual battle, and hidden shame like this woman, or as he calls you out, exposes you, calls you out of hiding in grief, I don't know. But Jesus says, hold fast to his word with patience, and it will bear fruit in your life. So today, if you hear his voice, if you hear the voice of the storm calming, demon silencing, out of hiding to healing, death conquering Savior, be careful how you hear. Do not harden your heart. Come to him by grace through faith and trust him alone. Let's pray.